cliffcentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Well, fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man. It's another Wednesday. And we're back out here doing big things as we usually do. It's been another dope week of advertising. Once again, you know, the word dope we throw around quite loosely every now and then. Because there's also been some crap work out there that we've seen this week. But remember, we also said that, you know, as much as we shoot some shots out here, we do also understand that bad ads happen to good people all the time as well. So you know, everyone's going to get their turn, you know. So we try to not be too hard on each other. But yeah, it's been a great week. It's been an interesting week generally for the country. You know, I try to always bring the branding side of everything that we do. And I've been wondering in the past couple of days. I mean, what have we done to the brand of universities in this country in the past couple of weeks and months? I mean, we all understand how important it is, everything that's been happening is, and how it's going to shape everything that we're going to be doing. And you know, like pretty much has happened before in this country, like the important conversations have started with the students. You know, and once again, the students are asking some hard questions of some people who got hella comfortable. But like, you know, there's obviously some kind of collateral damage every now and then. But I mean, you know, even fake wars have casualties, I heard in one movie. So I was wondering, I mean, what do we think we've done to the brand universities, you know, of South Africa? I was listening to another show on my way in, and some guy who's in China was talking to Eusebius, and he was talking about how, you know, it feels like, you know, everyone overseas is now talking about how the value of the South African degree or the South African qualification has gone down since the protest. I say, fuck that. You know, you've been sitting out there having a good time in China, and your stuff is fixed. It's probably because of 500 years of you know, of building walls on the backs of other of slaves, and then eventually someone had to die for you to have a university that's not actually going through some shit. So we're going through our shit. Let us go through our shit. The value of the degree can wait for now. We have a country to fix. So that's what I think about that. But that's just me. But you can give me your opinion. You know, give me your opinion about what you know that means to you. So hit me up on @BlackSem on Twitter. That's @BlaxeM on Twitter, or @CliffCentral. And then tell me what you think. But it's also going to be a really, really dope show today. I've got some people in the studio today that some of you might know. In fact, a lot of you will know. A lot of you will have encountered these cats. If you've been to the Luris, you've encountered them. If you've tried to do dope work with dope people, you've encountered them. Generally, if you're into nice things, I'm sure you've encountered these cats. But I mean, I'm not gonna steal their thunder. I'm also very good at stealing thunder. I do it very well. So I'm not gonna steal their thunder. I'm gonna let them tell you what they're about. We're gonna get in, you know. We're gonna get in, and I mean, this is Cliff Central. It is unscripted. It is on radio, so you can run your mouth as much as you want. You know, and we try to keep the swearing to a minimal, just so you can play the podcast for your mom. But you know, it's gonna come up. I mean, we all know it's gonna come up. I think we are. Yeah, I'm gonna just get straight into it. So these two guys that are sitting in front of me, you might know them as you might know them as Munareng and Gift / Mpo, but most people will also know them as Velocity Africa. So I want to welcome real quick the guys to the studio right now. Welcome Velocity Africa. What's going on, y'all?
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having us.
Hey, listen to that. Listen to that. He thinks he's on Just Ice's show. No, this is not that kind of show. Munareng, what's going on, Joe?
man, please excuse me. I'm a bit nervous. I mean, obviously, it's not something that I do every day, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll leave that to people like yourselves. Yeah.
So what do you do every day, Munareng? Tell us.
What am I? So I'm a filmmaker first and foremost.
That's what's up.
But operating in the commercial space. We make commercials, we make television commercials, advertisements, as some people call it.
That's right.
you know, I always go back to simplifying it for my mom back at home, and we call it an advertisement. Yes,
that is right.
But first and foremost, we are filmmakers. I'm a producer. I'm exec producer. Production is my game. And Mpo, who is my business partner and friend, is then the director and the creative side of the business.
That's
and
I'll
let him kind of introduce himself.
Mpo, tell us what do you do? I mean, he says you're the director, but what do you actually do?
Hey, everyone, by the way.
Hey, I love it. I love it, guys. Every time people come onto the show, right, they're not sure what tone it is. Is this Ashraf Garda? Is this Jeremy Meggs? Is this Eddie Zondi?
It's feeling like Eddie Zondi right now. So,
you didn't say hello to the listeners at home.
What do I do? Normally shoot ads, but I'm an avid dad. Believe in the vision of Africans and black people.
There we go.
Constantly fighting the system to better ourselves. Obviously, it's a long ass hard battle that we have to fight. And then, what else do I do? Normally hang out.
Yeah, just normally hang out.
Hang out. Play with the kids, and then now and then dabbling a bit of advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
See, guys, this is the thing. You know, you guys think that like, advertising guys are always in the thick. No. Sometimes there's hangout. You know what I mean? But I mean, I know nothing about this hangout thing that Mpo's on about. But, you know, apparently there's a thing called hanging out as well that happens out there. But gentlemen, I mean, you guys have done some really cool stuff. I mean, over the years, but recently you guys have also just done some stuff, some stuff over in Botswana. Well, for Botswana, in Botswana as well, with the guys at DBA. Shout out DBA. Shout out Z.
Make Beautiful Agency.
Okay.
Previously known as DBA.
That is correct.
That's
that is correct. That's also another thing that happens on the show a lot, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we teach each other every minute. And that was Mpo kind of, you know, technically making me know exactly what's going on. So it is the Make Beautiful Agency, formerly known as DBA. And you guys have done some cool work with those guys. What was that experience like? And just kind of take us through that. What was that like?
It was kind of cool. You know, working with Z has always been fun, if you can say that. if you can say that, the project started off well. It was for Botswana. We'd never been there before. And I think the first time I set foot there was for the PPM. For the PPM. We spoke, and then client mentioned a couple of things. And obviously, as we do in most other countries on the continent, when you pitch, you venture around the country. So we spent 12 days in a Jeep, traveling around all of Botswana.
Nice.
Bundu bashing, meeting people off the streets.
Yeah.
Making friends along the way.
Making beautiful, as you say.
Making beautiful, as you would say. We made friends. We came back, and the next time we presented the client, obviously we presented with the right insight and nuances.
That's right.
And we spoke sense that we had to speak. And then they liked it. We shot.
Yeah.
We shot a little bit later than expected. We shot a little longer than we expected.
As always. What's new?
Yeah.
But the ad worked out well. And I think it previously launched 2 weeks ago in Botswana. And hopefully we'll get to shoot another one, Z.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah, not subtle. Not subtle. Subtlety is not a strong suit here. And I mean, Monaro, from a production perspective, I mean, I've seen producers' faces on shoots here. You know, when we're just shooting in Soweto. You know, now that you're across the border, you know, how do those dynamics change?
Look, fortunately, I did not spend much time. I was pretty much stuck in the boardroom side of things.
Ah, okay.
Our producer, May. Hello, May, wherever you are.
What's up, May? Shout out, May.
Shout out, May. She's a very capable and the engine room of our production office.
Right.
So she was really hands-on on this job with Mpo and spent all the time that he was was there with him. So luckily I wasn't there for some of the horror stories. I just got told all the nice stuff, and I got sent all the nice pictures and that. But of course it does present itself with challenges. I think, you know, a lot of the time, and you know, from my experience of working across the continent, I love how everybody says
Africa.
We're not in Africa.
Yeah.
Working across our beautiful continent, you know, a lot of the time you basically are out of your comfort zone. Ultimately, what we get hooked on then is, you know, working within the parameters that you've got, and ultimately making something that's beautiful with very little resources. And that's, you know, the challenge of working on the continent.
Yeah.
There's not always this big shooting infrastructure that
we're used to.
You kind of have to get out of your comfort zone. But Mpo touched on something that is important to us. I think when you get into a place, you know, we kind of like always are thought of as the America of Africa, you know. And
it's because we say stupid things like when we go
when we go to Africa. Things like that. And also we come across with a bit of arrogance as well when we get to places we the know it all and we've got this ad industry and we've got the shooting infrastructure. And you know, it's spending time on the ground like he did, 12 days, getting to know the nuances and all of that. And I mean, you know, the continent is big. People are different, but we're a lot the same in many, many ways.
And that's that's right.
We're African first and foremost. And ultimately, you know, we draw on what we know as Africans of being humble and approach the subject with humility, with respect.
That's right.
You know, respect for our clients, respect for the audience, ultimately, because that's who our big client is, you know?
Yeah.
And understanding the people there. You don't come in there and start, you know, rambling off.
All the stuff you know.
Yes. About all the stuff that you know. That's exactly, right. Because ultimately it's their place. They know.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. No. I've heard some dope stories about shooting Africa. I'm not sure we're allowed to talk about all of them. I'm sure there's But I mean, I think there's some things that are common, like, you know, and I'm sure are things that happen pretty much everywhere in the world where there's a guy called a fixer. Yes. On the other side.
Yeah.
The first time I encountered that, I was like, how? Guys, is this really a thing?
What can you fix?
What exactly are you fixing? You know what I mean? We've got the equipment, everything is working. What are you fixing? And then you realize that, you know, you get into a town and you need a fixer.
Yes.
You know? What are some of your best fixer stories?
So, I don't have a best fixer story. I just have a best putting my foot in my ass story. in Botswana, you know, Munring speaks about the nice side of things. I think May had sleepless nights. I probably shot a lot more than I said I would shoot. Yeah. The 12-day trip wasn't planned and budgeted.
You did that, really?
No, it was a mistake. It's the first time.
First time.
And I think the 12-day trip wasn't budgeted, but they made it happen.
Right.
I met the fixer in Botswana.
That's right.
On day one. I was mesmerized and confused at how such a meek young man could be a fixer.
Yeah.
So Mpotwala goes, damn this, I want a fixer that's like a South African guy that can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
So I go and I find myself my own fixer.
Mm.
She's a beautiful girl, but also she seems to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Production happens. And then with my tail between my legs, I went running back to that meek little fixer, apologized profusely, and said, dude, please come back and can you help us out? And he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So that was a good story about a fixer. And then we've had other stories about fixes, which are just, you know, I think we're in Mauritius. Earlier on June last year.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole time, it's like, I want to see what the island looks like.
Right,
and this guy wants to show me what the summit has. So I'm like, no, let's go look at... I want to show you what the summit looks like.
Yeah.
He even took me past the summit of Mauritius.
Yeah, that's right.
For me to fight with him to go, I just want to go back home.
Yeah.
I didn't speak to him after that.
Shout out to the Mauritian fixer. Summit guy. Nothing wrong, boy. Take this man to the place that he doesn't want to tell you where to go to. Take him there.
Because that's the important stuff,
that's
right?
That's the important stuff. Let's get it out the way.
So that was my fixer story. But
that's dope.
I think along the way we've also come across some pretty solid fixes.
And more often than not, people are very solid. I mean, you know, you imagine you speak to somebody over the phone, you know, and the level of trust that we have to then put into these guys, because ultimately a lot of the time you've never met the guy. Well, you know, and you speak to somebody and they say, yes, it's done. I mean, that was the Mauritius story. And everything was, yes. And then when you get on the ground, it's no. There's actually like everything has been yes, but nothing has happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, you establish trust with people.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what they've got to work on as well, that you know what it is that you are there for, that ultimately you're there for a good thing, for a good cause. Yeah.
I mean, and that's really dope, because, I mean, I hear you guys speak about how, you know, like all these escapades in Africa, and I get a sense that there's been a few. And I mean, that's also the Africa part in your name, Velocity Africa.
Yes, sir.
Which obviously means that, you know, you guys are, I mean, you know, who would have thunk it? But please, ne? So you know, it obviously means that you guys have a huge footprint or an ability to go out there and go and shoot in those places. Do you think that being two black guys makes that easier for you?
Wait, makes it easier where? In SA or on the continent?
In Africa, to go into the continent.
So basically, it does. But at the same time, I think very much the same syndrome that South Africans have with dealing with two black men.
Right.
Some some countries on the continent have the same thing.
Yeah.
Where I'd rather deal with Van der Merwe than with Twala and Magwetla.
Yeah.
Just really because I think maybe Van der Merwe could do it better than Magwetla and
purely
Twala.
Purely because he's Van der Merwe.
Just purely because. Yeah. And, you know, slighter pigmentation. But with that said, and me not always being an angry guy, no, it's also been cool going out there, you know, because, again, the humility that Munnering speaks about and just dealing with people as just one black guy to another black
guy. That's right.
I can tell you what my problems are, what the fundamentals that I need to achieve are, and then you could make it happen, yes or no.
Yeah.
And I think along our travels, it's been cool. Yeah. You know, Nigeria was... Jesus, Nigeria was like getting slapped with a hot dombolo in your face.
Bah, in your face, like wake up.
As you land and you realize that you are insignificant in the greater scheme of things and you have to man up to deal with that kind of environment. But when you get in and when you manage, then people are quite welcoming. And I think it's been like that all over the place.
Yeah, people are very welcoming. You ask what people think of dealing with two black guys. I mean, it's always very funny when we walk into a room and when people actually realize that, oh, you're black. Yeah. I'm like, but hold on, my name is Munnering Magwetla.
What did you think was going to happen?
Maybe like, you know, because do I sound different or whatever? And maybe because I don't have a certain accent or whatever, you know?
No.
What accent are you talking about?
Okay. And then, you know, then, and eventually people get over that. But, you know, I think it's, not to get too controversial, but, I think a lot of the issue is really our own self-image, I suppose.
That's right.
You know, you think because it's of a certain complexion, hue, it knows better or it is more professional or that. And ultimately we have to work damn hard.
To make sure
that whatever happens, you can't ever say because these guys are black, what happened, or because, or any reason really. We got to work extra hard to make sure that we don't give people excuses for saying,
that's right.
Oh, you see, I told you
I
so.
I told you this was going to happen.
No.
I was actually saying to someone just the other day, you know, I was like, hey, you, as usual, you know, we are late. There's black people. No. We are just late. Let's not lump that on other people. That has nothing to do with other people. You are just late. That's it. You know what I mean? And you, what you're right about is the fact that it feels like with everything, you almost have to overcompensate in order to make sure that you don't get started off on that wrong foot of, as I told you guys about these guys being like this. So guys, I'm still hanging out with Munnering and Po, and it feels like the wheels are rolling now. We are headed in the right direction in this conversation. So hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter at Blaxem, at BLAXEM, with your questions for the guys, some comments, some stories, you know, whatever it is that you think we should know about the guys. So what I am gonna do is, you know, at some point, even on the internet, we have to play adverts. So I'm gonna play one advert, and then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna play a track, and then when we come back, we're gonna get the story of Velocity Africa, you know, where the guys come from, how do you end up, you know, being two black guys that are riding up and down Africa trying to change the world, you know, and you know, also some of those challenges that I know that we all know we face in this beautiful world of adverts, and we're gonna get into it. So keep it locked and send us your questions and your comments for the guys. It's your man G-Man, the ad man. I'm hanging out with Mpo and Munnering. Velocity Africa out.
So T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
What's up? It's your man, G-Man, the ad man. We're back.
Yeah, I love the clip of Ahmed Tilly. Ahmed does a whole nothing back. Fuck that. Ba, 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 fuck that. Anyway, we're back and I'm still with Munaring and Gift Archer. The damn VA boys, as some of you might know. And we're chatting, you know, and it's been... we're chatting about some interesting things in the break, but I'm sure that some of them will come up. But what you guys don't know is that, you know, I say I'm just chatting with them, but they brought an entourage, you know, because that's what you do. That's what you do when you run shit. You have an entourage. It's what you do. They have people documenting their lives, I'm getting looks. No, they are. I'm still hanging out with Velocity Africa. Huge shout out to my production team, Cheza and Pumla. For having made everything possible, for being able to actually get these guys in these seats, because we've tried a few times, and I think it took them calling in order for these guys to get here. When it was just me, I think it was just like, we're busy. But yeah, I've got the guys here now in the studio, welcome back, guys. We're gonna talk now. Like I said before the break, you know, I want to chat about how does Velocity Africa come about, you know? And I mean, I happen to know, I have an idea of where the story comes from. But I mean, but break it down for us. And they were flipping a coin during the break. Who's actually going to tell the story? There's the Munaring unabridged Encyclopedia Britannica version. And then I think there's the Mpotwala shots fired version.
Executive summary.
So guys, where does it start? Where did Velocity Africa start at?
Okay, cool. Unabridged version. I came back from Belgium. I looked around. I realized, actually, even after when I came back, that there were no African people running anything of their own.
Yeah.
So I looked and I went, okay, cool.
Not much has changed.
No, not much has changed at all. You know. We looked and we went, this isn't working. Munaring was freelancing, assistant directing and stuff. And then another partner of ours, Peter Gerber, was around. So we started Kalashnikov Filmworks.
Kalashnikov, like the gun.
Yeah. Like, right, we're going like to fuck shit up and we're going to shoot the industry up and try to do creative work. We did a lot of work. Yeah.
Shout out Kalashnikov.
We did a lot of work for Germany, international market, and then we shot one or two commercials. Locally, Peter won the green card lottery. He left. Munaring and I were left. All of a sudden, two black guys in a room. Who gives them work? Oh my God, how can you trust them? So that didn't last for long. We hung out for like a year and a half. Shot a music video, TKZ, black and white. Yeah. Peter Carr, Velocity, saw it. Called us up.
Which music video was this?
TKZ, Dikakapa.
Dikakapa.
Black and white. Dope. And Saki, the guys at SKL and Cut.
Oh yeah, what's
shout
up?
Out.
Shout out.
Saki
shout out.
And Ray, what's up, guys? What's up?
And then we shot a music video. Peter Carr saw it. Our kids used to play football together across the field. We started speaking. They got us into the office and we said to them, you know what, it's saturated in SA. We want to go into the continent and find good work to shoot there. They're like, right. Cool, we'll give you back end support and you guys go running and find the work. Joined up. When we joined up, I was a producer. Munaring was a producer. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. We get in first day of work. Peter Carr's like, this is really cool, guys. I like this. But somebody's got to direct. Which of you's going to do what?
I kept my hands in my pocket.
and because I had always been creatively involved with Peter Gerber, even when I was in Belgium, and with Saki and Ray Ray, you know, I put my hand up and I said, you know what, I've done a couple of things, so yeah. I'm quite excited to get going. That was the easy part, putting all that together and sending out mailers, direct on Portoala. It looked and it sounded great.
That's what's up.
And then treatment time came. We got our first pitch for Barclays Bank Kenya. We pitched. They said it's a beautiful treatment, but.
Yeah.
And then we pitched again. It's a beautiful treatment, but. And then I think for 7 months, we pitched.
Nice.
At least 20 jobs. Even the guys in research felt bad for us. They were like, guys, you know what? It's going to pick up. Don't you worry. Starting to feel bleak and going, oh my God, what have we done? And then Barclays Bank came back. And then I traveled to Kenya, shot. That happened. Publicis London came to us. We shot a lot of commercials for the Nigerian market.
Wow.
When that started working, we then had a serious chat with the guys at Velocity again.
Yeah.
Peter Carr and Gavin Lipschitz. And they were like, cool, guys, now that we've got momentum, I think we really need to concentrate on more creative work and let's leave the continental work. So we said, cool.
Wait, hold on. Concentrate on creative work and leave the continental work.
So,
and those two things,
they're extremely different.
Yeah.
Because what you get to shoot back home is budget and creative, where you have some kind of creative input into what you feel the picture should be and what works. And then when you're shooting work for the continent at the level that we were at that stage, it was very
Budget-driven.
Budget-driven, but yeah. also, hey, this is how you brush your teeth.
Funaring is great at the euphemisms. Eh? He's amazing. It was very...
No, it was all about the budget. Listen, yeah. we want a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
But we can actually afford...
A Corolla.
A city golf.
Yeah. But it's I do got like no, a Benz.
But yeah, well, you know, I like the Benz because it's got airbags and it's got all this like safety brakes and stuff. Yeah. But I've actually can afford just the yeah. The city golf. So give without me the airbag, give me the airbags and the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So reluctantly we're like, okay, cool. We listened and then we started pitching a lot more work in SA rather than on the continent.
Right.
What they did was, because now we had a plethora of that's commercials to present to local agencies.
That's the Belgium English show.
Thank you. Red Hill English, shout out. So anyway, now that we had a body of work to present, local market kind of picked up to it and one job led to another, led to shooting Snap for Hardy Boys. From Snap, we got to shoot Axe Hardy Boys, Axe, we got to shoot Hennessy, we got to shoot the latest Revlon Now.
Oh, that's dope.
And all this just purely because of a vision to tell the black story through black eyes with black voices.
Yeah. But you know,
over to Munereng.
But not to say, I mean, we're not really downplaying the importance of the continental market, because that's it was a real it is getting better. It is getting better and better. I think people out there, audiences are demanding a lot more. You can basically switch from a very bad ad to something that is world class right here on your phone immediately. You don't have to wait 3 hours to go and watch it on your TV or through a shop window as used to happen in the past for a lot of our people. But it was a great stepping stone for us because of that we got to push the boundaries a little bit, stretch the budget, make it work. As I said in the beginning, we get addicted to this feeling of actually sitting back and watching and thinking,
that's great.
I made that from a piece of paper and a very limited budget, and this is what we came out
with. That's great.
And it was a good way of establishing our track record as being able to do this and do it over and over and over again. And the world not exploding. The people still are buying the products. So clearly, we can do something.
to jump into Munereng's mouth there quickly. to quickly interject there with Munereng is the continent has not never produced amazing work. They have been and they always will.
Yeah.
The problem is they've always gone abroad to find directors and agencies to do the work. Yeah. Or they'll find agencies in SA, but then those guys will find either their chomies, I won't say any names, or they'll find guys overseas. The thing is, like, I don't understand how me as Mpotwala can't tell a story that Grant wants to see. It's easier if Thomas tells the story, because obviously Thomas understands black more than I do.
And you're right. It's that chomie game that you're talking about. And I think on the show it's also come up a few times, that it does seem like sometimes like it's disproportionate. How jobs are apportioned. It's like, oh guys, really? You really think that this guy is going to be able to tell? And I'm one of those people who is like an advocate for, I mean, I don't have to be a female to make a tampon ad. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm pretty sure that a female is probably going to find the solutions quicker than I am. But at the same time, I do think that in kind of the way advertising advertising has approached itself in the past 22 years that we've called freedom.
It's been 22 years. Jeez.
It's been 22 years. That's how long it's been. It's so crazy. When someone says the year 2000, you think it's recently. It's 16 years ago.
It is. Yeah.
That's how crazy that shit is.
Yeah, we're talking about 15 years ago. Somebody I was like, geez, that was 2001.
Exactly.
And not like it was like the 1980s.
Exactly. And still we find ourselves still having these conversations, and it's a crazy thing. So tell me this though. I mean, you also mentioned earlier that at some point you publicists
London
worked with you guys. Do you find that you get work in kind of parts outside of Africa as well, and what's the response there? What how do people are there certain types of jobs that they come to you for?
So no, because from Publicis London led to, I think the next job that we did was for TBWA Germany, where we did a hair care product for African women, and that was through the job from Hardy Boys. And then through McCann SA or Joburg, yeah. we got Hennessy, but that ran through Paris and Brazil.
Ah, right.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And then who else is there? And then obviously BTC through them.
Yeah.
There are calls to find out what happens.
Yeah.
I think they often get a surprise when you give them real life quotes.
That's right.
And they're not, and they're expecting a South African quote.
Oh.
And
that's
then you're
right.
like, yeah, this is what it cost.
Yeah.
But then often you're competing against some of the best in the world. So
yeah.
it's a pleasure and an honor to be competing against them.
Yeah.
It is harder. But now and then, yeah, we've won one or two. So
and
the expectations aren't any
that's dope
different.
Shit. I like that. I like that.
And you know when you pitch foreign work, you can't rest your laurels on I understand the black market.
That's no.
Yeah,
about no.
Yeah, that,
no.
That landscape is different.
It, for them they're like, oh, we didn't even know you were black. We just spoke to you because we thought you were a director.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to put your best foot forward. So that's been the fun and sobering thing. And I think that's kind of helped us manage and maneuver away within the local market.
That is dope. That is really, really dope. But now, to take another step back, though, I think, you know, I would like to know, say, for example, I'm a little kid coming out of AFTA, you know, and I've found my Munaring slash Mpo, right? And I'm going, should I go and knock on the doors of a Velocity in order to make this thing work? Or should I maybe just pick up my little suitcase and go and find work either in South Africa or just go into the continent? You know what I mean? Like what's the first thing you would tell me if I'm walking out of EFTA right now and I'm going, I want to go and make adverts?
Yeah, well, look, I think the important thing is being able to have to be perceived to have the technical know-how and the
That's
production
right.
support,
yeah.
Which, excuse my French, sometimes I think is bullshit because it's used as an excuse for you not getting work.
That's right.
It's like that old Catch-22 situation of, listen, I'm looking to gain experience. Mm. I need work to get experience. So how do I get experience exactly. if you don't give me the work? But you're not getting the work because you're not experienced enough. So, you know, it is a challenge. As you say, you know, you're fresh out of film school. Unfortunately, the way that it still is, you have to build a track record.
Yeah.
Not unfortunately, actually, you have to build a track record. I mean, let's tell the truth here.
Yeah,
we are running a business.
That's how it is.
We are running a business. We are, you know, looking after clients' money, ultimately, millions of it. We have to be responsible with it. And if you don't have the experience, what are you going to do? You're gonna basically waste money. And you don't have the experience to realize, you know, where you can get the best value, where you derive the best value for your clients, the best crew and all of that. And unfortunately, it does come with experience. That said, though, there's nothing that is stopping you from doing something proactively, showing people and saying, hey, listen, this is what I've done, this is what I can do. And I think, you know, you're at a better position to say it than me, but I mean, the ad game is changing a lot. Audiences are changing. I mean, right now, geez, you can basically build a career just advertising stuff on Instagram.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hey, you don't actually have to have this huge production support and all this, you know, army of crew and lights and you know, and do something that is actually reaches audiences right there and then on their phones. But hey, anyway, I mean, you know, you guys are the experts.
Sorry to cut in there quickly. The great thing about Munring and I is that he's the sober-minded, mature, solid business guy.
Whereas,
obviously, I lack some of those qualities, but I also, you know, I compliment Munring. What I was going to say is, sometimes you just have to go and fuck the system, buck the trend.
Yeah.
If you think you can do something, go and do it.
That's
if
right.
you have an opportunity to travel the continent, save yourself like pain, travel, get
That's
the
right.
experience mm. elsewhere. So when you come back, you fully understand how it is that you need to communicate to people, but also you open your fucking eyes to what the rest of the world looks like, to what the rest of the continent looks like, and you actually realize that
Love
you can
that.
Make a living Clever. Anywhere on this continent. Like, SA is so oversaturated, so over
right,
everything.
Right.
Like, you go to Tanzania, you now got friends that have gone to Tanzania, go to Marrakesh, go to Nigeria. If you can make it there, you can come back home.
That's
home
true.
Is a safety blanket.
Yeah.
If you can make it anywhere, you can make it at home. But if you're just going to sit here and go, whoa, and look for opportunities here, there's too many of us doing the same thing here.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else, be unique, be different.
Yeah.
Set your own fucking footprint.
Well, that's what happened to us. I mean, that's how, you know, he was giving you the abridged version. The unabridged version is how we came about and how we ended up doing the work that we did across the continent was, you know, we, as Kalash, we knocked on doors, we saw people. And as I said, you know, people are like, oh, but you don't, oh, but you, yes, oh, yes, but, yes, up, yes. Up. And stumbling over themselves. And eventually we decided that, look, I mean, we want to tell stories. We saw an opportunity. We're looking at the work that was coming from the rest of the country. We thought, hey, here's a place. And then maybe this is a life lesson that why go to a place and try and work in a place where your work doesn't get noticed. So we went to a place where we felt our work would get noticed a lot more.
That's dope.
And lo and behold, the local market started paying more attention to us. And that's how we ended up doing all the wonderful work that Impor's been telling us about, you know. So,
that's amazing.
Let's go out there, you know?
I once encountered a guy, and I think I've told a story before, and it was a Nigerian guy, and who said that, you know, it's amazing what South Africans, you know, you guys sit there in your country and you got all this freedom, but all you guys do is complain. You sit there and you say, hey, guys, there are no opportunities here and whatever. And he says, if you look, any country you go to in the world is a Nigerian. Because we know that there are millions of us in this one piece of land, and eventually we go, let us go and fuck shit up somewhere else. And I mean, we all know, you know, they fuck shit up in varying ways. You know, by fuck shit up can actually be a good thing, you know. So they turn things around, they turn industries around, they meet people at the PP, but at the same time, there are varying ways in which they go out there and they become enterprising, because they kind of go, I know that wherever it is that I'm at, it's done there. The people are, you know what I mean? But it's quite a double-edged sword, because at the same time, we can't leave a broken system just because we think that we should
run away
or somewhere else. You know what I mean? Because then we're not fixing it. You know what I mean? But that's great. But there's something else I want to get into. So, you know, when you guys were Kalash and then became Velocity Africa, do you think that you're kind of, I want to phrase this properly. Do you think that you got more work when you had the word Velocity added to your name?
I think we got more. Wow. Disclaimer. Yeah. I think we got more work because of the people that were backing us.
Okay.
And by default, they happened to be
Velocity.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So I guess what I'm saying is when people look at your business card, back in the day, just used to say Kalash, and then it was a machine card.
Yeah.
Right?
And then it was literally the two of us.
Yeah. And now there's almost like a cushioning that comes with the name Velocity being
a big cushioning. And also they can just quickly get onto the internet and then they look at this amazing work that people have done,
right?
Keith, Greg, all those guys, and then the assumption is okay, cool, they come from a good stable. A funny story is Nigeria. Walk out of a meeting, I think 10 minutes later the guy calls Peter Carr directly on the phone. These two black guys running around just saying that they're working at Velocity, do you know them? He's like, no. they're with us.
Oh, we know they're with us.
So you know, and then from there it led to us getting work from the agency. Yes, the name has helped a lot. And I think in a business and running a business and trying to be successful, especially in this little business, you have to take all the help that you can get.
That's true.
We'd hit a tipping point and we realized that we couldn't go any further as just Mundering and I. Let's get past all the jokes, everything else. We couldn't get any further than where we were. And we were lucky enough that Velocity saw something in us that they thought they could nourish. And we went, we joined up. And since then, we haven't looked back. The work has been better. We've got to develop directives. We've got to work all over the world, I think. But also we've got to also get in people and train people of color who
That's
we're
right.
kind of proud to see where they are now. And you know, our biggest thing now is development.
Yeah.
And Velocity is big on that too.
Oh, that's dope.
Our baited be just in
Look, I mean,
that's very dope.
Because for me, it's always like, I always say, and again, I always look at the business side of things. If I give you my money, I've got to know where to find you, right?
That's right.
So that's what it was. When you say production support and all of that, you know where the Velocity office is because you've dealt with them before. And they've got a
Kalash,
track record, you know?
When you guys were Kalash, you didn't put your addresses on the business card.
No, we did. It's just
Munaring.
Catch me, producer.
Catch me when you see me.
Catch me on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people going out there calling themselves this and that and that, you know. But yeah, it helped a lot. It certainly did help a lot. Yeah. I mean, these guys have built a great business over
That's
many
right.
many years.
Yeah.
You know, and also just, you know, we can't say then that we are know-it-alls. You know, it's good when you know that somewhere, some, you know, if you're really in trouble, you can pick up the phone and speak to a grown-up and say, well, who's got 20 years of experience?
Yeah,
that's what
right.
I mean by grown-up.
Right. Yeah.
Who will then say, okay, fine, we can do this and that, or have you looked at this and that? And
that's
then
right.
and it's a sounding board. It's a great sounding board as well, you know? Yeah.
That's dope. I like that. Because also, I mean, it's also been the conversation that I've always said, if we're saying that we want transformation to happen properly, and there are a whole lot of lessons that we actually need to get from the people who have them. We have had them for like all this time. So it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, you speak about the guys that you guys have developed, some of the new talent. You guys want to talk to us about that? I know Zuri's been working on something dope. You guys want to talk to us about that?
Oh, me. cool. So we have Zuli. We've had Zuli since he finished film school, and I think he's been here.
Yeah. Shout out Zuli.
Zuli at the moment has been on a phenomenal run. He's shot 3 commercials, shooting his next one like next week. Just shot a short film, Hangman. He wrote during After Days.
Wow.
Got funded NFVF. He shot in June, Black Crew, All Black Everything. He made it work with absolutely no money.
Yeah.
And now he's working with Deep End, putting together the post-production.
Fantastic.
I think it's almost ready now. I saw a launch thing this morning.
I think I saw that this morning as well. Yeah.
It's officially ready. So he sends it off to all the festivals, tries to get funding for the movie, and then he'll produce a feature-length film.
That is
so
dope.
The amazing thing with Zuli is he came, you know, green-eyed and bushy-tailed. What? Red-eyed and bushy-tailed?
I'm so used to meeting red-eyed.
So what I meant to say was bright-eyed, because he's a good kid. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And, you know, he came just to learn. He wanted to experience everything. He didn't come in there and say, I'm a director, I've graduated from after. He just went, I'm a sponge.
Yeah.
Teach me everything that you can. And for 3 years, he hung out with me. And people think that he was my assistant.
Yeah.
But for 3 years, he was my co-director.
That's
everything
dope.
That I did, every treatment that I wrote, he was 100% involved in it on set. Because I'm the more rambunctious one. I would speak a lot, but Zweli was in charge of the direction.
That's right.
And I think the best way to mentor anybody is to make them, keep them involved.
Yeah.
Let them take the reins and run. And only when they make a mistake do you come in and go, that's wrong or that's
wrong.
But you can't be telling people from afar, okay, this is how you do things, how you do things, because you're scared to lose the mantle of being the head guy in charge.
Love that.
Ego is a dangerous thing. So we have, I love the claps, by the way. So Zweli is one of the guys that we nurturing and developing. And then obviously we have guys in the production side that not many people get to see, who we also nurturing, from coordinators, production managers, and there's other people that have come through the stable, other directors that have come through the stable as well. And at the moment we're working with a guy called David. David's from Gabon, lives in Paris. Shot some beautiful work, but we're trying to get him some kind of exposure on the continent and locally in SA.
That's dope, man.
Again, it's just pushing the narrative of the black creative being able to work anywhere on the continent,
man,
and not to be confined within the country that they come from.
That's great.
And not to say that we're just a black shop, by the way. We have Caucasian directors.
No, we do indeed. But you know, it's funny because you ask about this whole training and development thing and also telling the African story, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's very funny because You write these things and you think, oh yeah, you're just writing a profile on a website or a profile for PR purposes and whatever. But it becomes a completely different thing when you actually have to be doing exactly that. We literally live, eat, and sleep the same philosophy all the time, that we have to. It is a responsibility that we have to train people and to make sure that the people that want to come up and do what we do have the opportunities to do it. And we have I have this conversation with many people. You know, one of them, you were asking who there was. Well, Paul will highlight it too, but I think he's one of our biggest success stories. You spoke about an entourage. We've got Paul here in the room. Paul
What's
is
up? Shout out, Paul. What's going on?
Paul is a head researcher. Is our head of. Boop, boop, boop. I thought that was the other radio station, man, that does it.
No. I'll do whatever I damn well please out here, son.
So, you know, and it's important for us to develop people. And I always say one of them is Repetile, who's in our office. And hello, Repetile.
Shout out, Repetile.
Listening? And she will tell you that, and this is something that I always repeat to people, and Paul touched on it as well. You know, when you're in a training position, and I think often we are very, very eager to make it and to move up to the next level of our careers. And look, I mean, there's many reasons. I mean, there's the socioeconomic issues that we have as Africans, that your parents put you through school, so now you got to go back and pay back and all of that. And paying back is not necessarily monetary, but paying back through training people and that. And I always say that, yes, of course, you want to move very quickly and reach the top very quickly and make loads of money and all of that. But it's important to learn.
That's right.
The best place that you can learn is right there at the bottom, because nobody expects you to know anything. So you can sit there and just sit in the room quietly and just sponge it in. And eventually you come out with the experience. You don't actually even realize that you're learning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking from my own personal experience here. You realize one day you answer somebody and you think, wow, damn, where did that come from? Is that me?
I love that a lot. Guys, wow. Wow. I think, guys, this show being an hour is going to be a problem in my life, because it flies by. It's gone. The hour's gone.
Your watch is broken.
Yeah. It's Kenneth Cliff's watch. It's broken. But once again, I think this is a testament once again as to why, Kenneth, I hope you are listening, why the show needs to be 2 hours long now. I think enough now. I think, it's time to grow now. Or even daily. But I think what's the better time? But yeah, guys, it's been amazing hanging out with you guys. And I think I literally have just one more minute with you guys. Just one thing that you would like the industry to change. If they could change one thing within the next 12 months, what would you like the industry to change immediately? Munari.
Look, one thing.
Yeah.
One thing that people I think could change and then look at it and is this tendency to box people.
Right.
Because you're a certain hue, because you're a certain way, because you talk a certain way, you are only capable of doing certain things.
Boom.
And I think we need to get rid of those boxes.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of those boxes. Ultimately, we are professionals. We are good at what we do. We're specialists.
Yeah.
I love that word, specialist.
That's it.
and we were talking, actually, sorry, I know I'm rambling.
Yeah,
but
go.
Anyway, we're talking about a funny the thing now where, often clients will, call you up into a room and they bring you in because you're a specialist, and then proceed to tell you how to do your job. You don't do that with your mechanic, do you? You don't do that with your doctor. Say, hey, doctor, actually, I know what's wrong with me. Just write the prescription and we walk out. But anyway, and that's one of the things that I think, if just give us, just trust us.
Yeah.
Just trust. I think, actually, trust.
Give Beautiful. Us free. For Beautiful. Me, it's youth, young people. Come out, knock on our doors, knock on everybody's doors, push those doors, smash those doors down if you have to. But also when you get in there, just focus and pay attention. And no one's meant to do it for us. We're meant to do it for ourselves. So,
don't
expect anyone to do it for you.
Yeah.
Just hustle hard. And it's just tell that proud African story that will sell all over the world.
Dope.
I think that's it.
Dope. Fantastic. Gentlemen, wow. Sage advice, y'all, from two minds that have been through it, as you might have heard today. But yeah, it's been an amazing hour once again. Go to cliffcentral.com, get yourself the podcast. If your boss was out, or if you've just walked in because your boss had asked you to be out, get the podcast and check it out later. That's the thing with podcasts, they're not about at the time. You can listen to it later, when another radio show is on and you don't like that one, just put this one in your car, and you can listen to that. A huge shout out once again to my production team, Cheza, Pumla, you guys made this shit happen. Balisa, right here next to me, making me sound good, making me look good. And once again, I'd just like to say thanks once again to the guys at Velocity Africa. And as I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Out.
Thank you.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the Asians. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Well, fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.